Welcome to the Talk Over podcast, a conversational platform for the DJs, by the DJs, brought to you by Double and Stylus.
Swag.
Tune in every week to hear us talk about all the things we see, hear and experience as DJs. Don't forget to subscribe to the channel by simply searching Talk Over podcast on either Spotify or Apple Music. Clarticus Meridius. Stylus and Double back in the business.
Back in the business. Hashtag talk what over podclot.
Hashtag fucking coronavirus.
Mate, it's getting weird.
Bro, it is weird. Bro, is it just me that's been getting around this week feeling like the apocalypse is about to land?
So you played at the weekend, right?
Yeah, I played on Friday and Saturday.
So
I didn't really want to. In my head, I'm thinking, it doesn't. I spoke to you on Friday, innit? It just didn't feel right going to work this weekend. I don't know why. It just obviously because of this corona shit. But in my head, I'm just felt a bit uneasy with it.
You know what was weird for me? Like, both the clubs were busy. In fact, Saturday seemed a little bit more busy than the normal night. To be honest, a bit more busy than the average night, which was weird.
Man, are trying to get the last turn up in.
I know, but Friday was probably like 2/3 of what it usually does, and obviously you already know, like, I love my Friday night. It's packed in there, it's a big venue and it's just a sick crowd. But one thing I noticed this weekend, the people that were there,
the vibe just felt a bit weird, didn't it?
Imagine going to someone's
like they were there but just like bystanders.
Imagine going to someone's funeral and then DJing at the wake. Do you know what I mean? Like, that kind of... No. But imagine it. So, like, everyone's there and there's music and that they like, but they're just not quite ready to turn up. Like, they're not properly on the party vibe. It honestly felt like that. I felt like I was DJing at someone's wake where everyone was a little bit drunk and, like, happy and cool and enjoying the music, but there's this, like, somber undertone. Do you know what I mean?
Whereas
they kind of feel like they shouldn't really be partying, but they're partying anyway, but they don't want to party too much. Like, it's hard to explain, man, but it was weird. And as a DJ,
I feel like it felt the same here, bro. It felt the same over this way. Exactly the same the way you just described it. Man, yeah. We're in the dance, but they were just kind of all stood around and a bit just low-key with it, man. Like, it was just horrible, man. Just didn't feel right. I think people came out and realised they'd fucked up.
It is weird, like, isn't it?
Like, stay at home, innit? Like,
yeah.
Jesus. But now, to be fair, like, the club was surprisingly busy Friday and Saturday, man. Like, people were still out. Like, Saturday in town, the flipping people are rolling around on the floor drunk and that usual behaviour. Like, yeah. So, yeah, a bit mad. But since we spoke on Monday, shit's got a bit peak.
Oh, mate, the difference that has come about in the 7 days since the last podcast, like, is mental, bruv. Like, I felt like last week was kind of, even though it was obviously a thing, I feel like last week was just like us, like, hypothesizing about what might happen. And do you know what I mean? It's just like,
it's like we weren't fully taking it serious. Like, man weren't taking it fully serious. I wasn't. I'm not gonna lie.
No, I was. But
I was, but I wasn't. Like, I was. You weren't expecting it to go 0 to 100 in
real quick,
days.
Bruv. Yeah.
Literally.
Mad.
I'm getting cancellations left, right, and centre already, man. I'm like, yo, because.
It's weird,
I'm hella stressed right now.
Yeah, because the other thing is, I've had a conversation with a promoter today who's told me, like, look, basically, I've had to lay off most of the staff because we're facing a proper downturn and I don't know if we're going to be opening, so I've had to let the staff go. Mm-hmm. And then straight away, I'm just like, shit, like, yeah, we're obviously having the conversation about what happens if the club stays open, but they're only allowed to bring 100 people in and stuff like that. Like, but
is that true? This, like, I read it's 500. It's going to be 500 for the UK
again. You know what?
But there's so many numbers.
Yeah, social media just throwing so many different numbers out, and it's like no one knows anything, but everyone knows everything. Do you know what I mean? So it's like,
bro, listen, do not go on Facebook. Whatever you do, mate, all my days, bro.
Yeah, it's weird. Back to the point I was going to make. Like, I'm not sure. Obviously, with us, like, as soon as we stop working, we stop getting paid. The money stops coming in, right? So I've got this I've got this horrible battle that I'm going through at the moment where I'm like, I've still got certain gigs on. I have a set tonight. I have potentially a set tomorrow. Potentially, in fact, this week's supposed to be a busy week because I've got one on Wednesday as well down in Portsmouth, and then I'm booked Friday and Saturday as well. So potentially I've got 5 gigs this week. But it's like, do I take the risk and actually make the money this week because next week there might be no money and that extra lump of cash.
Trying to get it in while you can, innit?
Yeah, or is it like, actually, I need to really take this in and just cancel, like, I beat it. Instead of waiting for the promoters to tell me not to come because the club's shut, do I tell them I'm not coming because I want to stay healthy? Like, it's so weird, bruv. Like, it's so...
It's our job as well, man. Like, we're on the front line, bro. Like, clubs... for me, I'm thinking, like, clubs and, like, gyms and stuff are probably the worst places to be with the way this thing is spreading around. Like,
yeah, apparently the gyms
bare
are
man
really
in
backless.
One place, breathing and coughing all over it. Like,
that's the thing.
Clubs are the worst places to be, mate.
Yeah,
literally.
I've stopped going to the gym for now, which I actually hate because that's one of my ways of staying stable, bruv. Like, the gym, every day helps me clear my head for the day ahead. Like,
that's it. Like, what's if you got to like self quarantine and all this stuff or self isolate or whatever they're calling it? Like, how's man even supposed to exercise, fam?
You can do loads of stuff at home, but when I go to the gym,
you can't go jogging or anything like that. Do you know what I mean? You got to run up and down your fucking hallway. Like, I shouldn't even laugh, but like, I've not been to the gym now it's only been just over a week, but already I'm like itching. I need to do something, innit?
Yeah.
Like, I'm not built for this. Obviously, if it comes to it and we have to stay at home, I'm all for it. But I'm just not built for that stuff, me, bro. I go out of my mind.
Yeah.
Sitting in the crib, like, it's gonna be interesting, mate. It's gonna, like, I don't even know where this is gonna go. I don't think anybody does. It's a bit of a guessing game right now. I don't think it's really even hit the UK properly either. So I think the worst of it's to come.
That's the thing, man. I don't think I've fully taken in how big and serious this really is. I still kind of feel like, I mean, yeah, I've stopped going to the gym, but Roman, like, my son's got a swimming lesson at 4 o'clock today. Do I take him for the swimming lesson still? Like, in this public swimming pool? Like,
That's true. I
don't know, but at the same time, do I just cancel it because I'm like scared of whatever? And obviously I want to protect him from getting it, even though they say kids are the lowest risk. But I don't want to just fucking expose him to it. Like, it's weird, bruv. Like, it is weird.
I had a kid, if I had a child, I wouldn't be taking them to no swimming lessons and that in this current climate. No way.
Like, it's weird, man. That's the thing is, like, I don't know how far to take it in terms of isolating and stuff, because obviously, like, I went to see my mum and dad yesterday. Like, my son stayed at their house for the weekend, so I'm out in the clubs.
Okay.
And then I went to pick him up and spent the day with them. But now I've been in the clubs, so I'm going to be in the clubs this week. Does that mean now who do I not see? Because if I'm going to the clubs, I can't be that bothered about it. But then...
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Oh, it's weird.
Bro, it's catch 22 for us because, well, it's like you say, we don't get no sick pay or anything like that. So it's a case of we're going to work, putting ourselves on the front line, but we don't really want to, but we kind of have to until we're told not to, kind of thing.
Put it this way,
like, I'll be doing some gigs this week. Like, not all of them have been cancelled. I was the same as you. Yeah. I had 5 gigs locked in. That's now gone down to 2.
Right.
Like, this week was going to be my busiest week in ages, bro. Uh-huh. And they're just slowly dropping off one by one. So, but I'll be going to work until I'm told not to, or the clubs get locked off. Because, like you say, unless they're looking at freezing our bills or pausing mortgage payments or whatever else, like, we have to semi-keep it moving to an extent.
So let me ask you a question then. If there was an option as a DJ, if they said right now, okay, you don't have to go to work, but we're going to still pay your wage, like sick pay, would you go to the club?
I'm not going to work. Hell no.
Yeah, that answers it, innit? Because I'm exactly the same, bro. But I obviously, like, we're people that absolutely love what we do. So, like, every opportunity to do it, I take. But
I didn't enjoy DJing this weekend, though.
No, same.
It just didn't feel, Same. It didn't feel right. Like, I couldn't... I'm trying to get in a vibe and that, and I just found myself going into autopilot.
Yeah, weird
like,
vibes,
just wasn't digging it. But like you say, bro, we don't really get that option. I know the government are trying to put something in place to help us, but there's so many loopholes and it's like peanuts, mate. It's not really going to make the difference.
Yeah.
Like, for the people that don't have savings, bro, it's like... Some DJs don't stack money like that, so for them ones, they're about to come unstuck.
Real quick. It's sad, man, because there's a lot... This whole situation over the next few months is going to put a lot of small businesses out. And, like...
Trust me.
I feel bad because I actually do think that might be the case for a lot of DJs as well. Like, I don't know what they're going to do. I don't know how they're going to survive if they've got no backup financial... cover, do you know what I mean? Like, it's about to get
when they say
serious.
When they tell you save money for a rainy day, mate, like literally this day is just about to land,
you know what? So, one suggestion I want to just put out, obviously we've got another topic that we're going to chop up today.
Yeah, we are going to get there.
One suggestion I do want to throw out is if there's people out there that you know have literally just lost all their sets, and if you still have sets, I would suggest, bruv, reaching out to those people and either sharing a set or doing alternate weeks or something. Do you know what I mean? Like, this is a time as people, not just as DJs, but as just people in general, we need to be looking out for each other right now. And like, money isn't the most important factor. Like, just pulling together and helping each other through it. So, like, do you know what I mean? It sounds like hippie as fuck, but what I mean
is like... I get it.
And I actually like... It is worth just reaching out to someone if it's possible. It isn't going to be possible for everyone, but if you're in a position where you could share the financial load that you've got going on right now, I'm not talking about just giving your money away, but look at maybe trying to do alternate weeks or so. Do you know what I mean? Or just bring them on and go back to back. I mean, maybe that's not if you're trying to stay away from people or something, but do you know what I mean? Like, just figure out some kind of way that if it's possible for you, then try and share what you've got if you know the shit has just hit the fan for someone else.
Now, I'll be honest, I think a couple of weeks it's going to be the clubs are going to get locked off, mate, indefinitely. If it goes the way that it's gone in Europe, Spain and all the other places, like, clubs are locked off, bro. So
yeah, they said they're doing it different.
I think we'll get to that point. I think we're going to get to that point where it's all going to get locked off. Like, yeah. Apple are closed, Urban Outfitters have closed, Nike have closed.
Really?
Like, big companies are shutting down, mate, like, now already. My missus got the call on Saturday night, bruv. You don't come in for the next 3 weeks.
Yeah.
And, like, she's management at Urban Outfitters, bro, like, locked off, international company.
Yeah.
Boom. Done. So, clubs are going to follow suit, defo.
Even if they don't in the UK, because I know the government are doing things differently, but even if they don't, I think what will happen is people are going to be less and less likely to come out. So even if it's not the government shutting it down, I feel like the clubs, if they notice a massive decline, they might just say, look, we're going to close doors just to save our costs. But like I say,
but
for
then
now,
these clubs have still got to pay. They've still got to pay the business rates and the rent and stuff. Like,
yeah, that's true.
Surely.
It's true, but if
these
you're...
These clubs are going to get sucked, bruv.
Yeah, but imagine if you've got rent, 10 door staff, 10 true. Bar staff, a DJ, true. 3 cleaners, the manager. Do you know what I mean? Like, if you can just pull that just back to rent only, as a business owner, that's what you're going to do, innit? But this is a time where, yeah, like I say, I think if it's possible for you as a DJ and you know that there's someone in your area or someone nearby that's just lost everything, all of their bookings, and they're looking at a real shitty situation right now, I think trying to share is a good shout. But another thing I want to say before we get onto this week's proper topic is this is a time when, once this is over, I really hope that all the millionaire and multi-millionaire club owners actually take into account the hit that the DJs are taking this summer, and that there's not... Yeah. Like, proper fuckeries on the end of it. Like, coming out of this, bruv, I'm going to spill my shit everywhere if I hear about club owners trying to take advantage and be like, trying to drop the price even more on the end of this. Do you know what I mean? Because they're going to know people are going to be at the bottom of their financial bucket. So if I suddenly hear about clubs that are offering...
God, you think it's bad now, mate? Bloody hell. It's going to go from £50 DJ to £20 DJ.
Bruv, I just hope that it's the opposite. I hope that actually the decent people out there are like, cool, right, you lot have just taken a massive hit over the summer or over the first part of this year, whatever. Now let's look at how we can work together to get all of our money back up, rather than taking advantage and just being like, look, I know you need money, so this is what's on offer, take it or leave it. And it being
I hope you're right, brother. I hope you're... Yo, just think of the events on the other side as well, if everything gets locked off. Like, man are going to be out here celebrating life to the fullest, mate. Yeah. On a positive vibe.
Yeah, 100%.
When that's going to happen, God knows, but, you know.
Yeah, but Jesus. I think definitely around that time, we're going to record a podcast about how to get back into the swing of things and the way that business should get back to. Do you know what I mean? And like I say, yep, this is one of the things I'm worried about, is the club owners and that basically taking advantage of the low financial situation and trying to take the piss. But trust me, I'm gonna be shooting.
Well, this is gonna be one of them moments. It's gonna be one of them moments we tell our kids when we're older. Do you remember that time when the whole country went into quarantine and the football leagues got locked off and all the nightclubs got shut and all the shops got locked?
It's crazy, like, bro.
I never thought I'd see this in my lifetime.
Yeah, mad,
mad thing. Anyway, it's a mad thing.
Anyway, let's bounce on. So this is a thing.
That was the intro.
That was the intro.
We had to break it down rapid.
Yeah, I mean, we're doing a podcast, man. You can't not talk about it at the moment. This is the biggest thing in the world, isn't it? But anyway, onto this topic. This is a topic actually I wanted to talk about for a while, and I'm glad we finally got round to this. the code of conduct.
Yes, sir.
DJ etiquette. Quite an interesting one, because it feels like it's like fucking the Wild West out there sometimes, you know what I mean? Like, people,
listen, there's no rules these days, man.
it's like the rule book hasn't just been ignored, it's been buried back in, like, where's it gone? And I feel like,
back in the day it was like a standard thing, innit, but I feel like now,
yeah,
there's just no rules anymore, innit.
No,
like, man, just behave.
In a lot of cases there's just a lot of bad manners about, brother. And I'm not talking about like general bad manners, I'm talking about DJ bad manners. So
yeah, I hear that.
I think one of the reasons for it is because over the last few years, the new generation of DJs have brought themselves through. Do you know what I mean? With our generation, pretty much, I reckon 90% of the DJs that I know, our age and our generation, were brought into the game or mentored by someone. Do you know what I mean? Like, someone somewhere showed them a thing or two of what to do. So it might have been like full-on mentorship, or it could have just been someone just giving them pointers and that, and actually bringing them into the game. But I don't feel
You kind of learn how to move properly from the people above you, innit? Like you say, getting the bringing or like someone kind of giving you a little arm, putting their arm around you a little bit or something like that.
Even just
now,
down
man,
to...
just come through on their own doing. No rules, fam. No rules. Or they're not even told how to behave.
But you know what? It's even like when I was first doing clubs, I was the warm-up DJ for someone in the town who was the main DJ. And it was through that I kind of learnt certain things as well. Do you know what I mean? But I feel like nowadays, because the clubs really pull back on paying DJs, and they don't want... A lot of clubs, this is. They don't want more than one DJ on a night, because if it's a resident thing anyway, because they don't want to pay out for two DJs and blah, blah, blah. I feel like that kind of lost the camaraderie of DJing in a lot of places. Do you know what I mean? Because it went from being a cool spot where you're going and turning up and maybe two or three of you are playing on the night, and there's the guy who's the main part of the night kind of teaches you the ropes, to being a place where actually, like, it's a very solitary job and you're doing your own warm-up, your own main set, your own warm-down, your own hosting. And that's it. It's just
like back in the day, you passed the baton amongst you, innit? Like you say, when I first started, say, wait, there was three, man. I started on the warm-up. Then you'd have the main guy and like a warm-down, but you would respect each other's set and pass the baton like seamlessly, innit?
Precisely.
But like you say, I had the same as you, bro. Like I warmed up for the main guy at the time, and he kind of like put his arm around me and he showed me, like, he was called DJ Pesh. He showed me nothing but mad love as well. Like,
yeah.
These days, some man could get a little bit protective, and they're not really, like, they'll do the set. They might not even communicate with you when you come in the booth and like you say, someone tweeted the other day saying, man, we'll watch your Serato crash and laugh at you. I can't remember what the situation was, but sometimes that's how it can feel. Yeah. Like, whereas back in the day, it was a mutual. Man would come in the booth, like, yo, what's up? Like, kick it, have a drink together. Then you would pass the baton to my man. He would do his set and everyone would communicate and, like, chat amongst each other in it and share the... And like just share the trade, man. Like yeah. Now, I feel like you just said then, you were coming and hold the whole night on your ones, bro.
That's it.
You're not even seeing another DJ in the booth.
No, for me, I don't mind that necessarily, but I've been through it, so I know. But like, I think for the younger generation of DJs, the guys that are getting into club sets now for their very first club set, and they're getting given the entire night, they're the ones that are missing out on this very valuable. Information, I guess. True. That's what it is. It's information, isn't it? They're missing out on the information being passed down.
It's not really their fault, then, isn't it?
No, not at all. Like, and that's what I'm saying.
Like, times are different, bro. Like you say, they're not really getting that opportunity to maneuver around other dudes.
And the problem is, it's become so oversaturated as well that there's a lot of people that are very protective over their thing. So they actually don't like other DJs coming into their territory. Do you know what I mean? Like, I'm aware of some people that have residencies that when there's a guest DJ booked, bruv, the residents don't like it because it's like they know how much the guest is getting paid and it's usually a lot more than a resident. The guest
can hurt at times.
Yeah. The guest,
depending on the techers.
Well, exactly. The guest gets to come in and shell all the big tunes. And a lot of the time, not in every case, but a lot of the time, the guests might be like, I don't want to say like a novelty DJ, but not as skilled as the resident. You know, some of these resident guys have some fucking amazing skills. But as the guests, like a lot of the guys on rotation at the moment doing the guest sets, they're not like a lot
the
of
guests
the
guests are there headliners. To do one. The guests are there to do a certain thing though, innit? Like you say, I think residents most times have more skill.
Yeah, definitely. Well, that's the thing. The problem is the landscape changed. So the headline DJ isn't necessarily the best DJ in the room. They're the one that's going to pull the more people in. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. And I don't know how long it's been like this for, but it does feel like it's been a few years. But the residents who know the crowd and they could absolutely shell it every week, they feel, not in every case, again, but they feel a certain way about this guy just coming in, getting paid more, getting to do the main set where they play all the bangers and get all the recognition for how sick the night is. And some people feel a certain way about it, but I'm just like, nah, there's a certain etiquette, bruv. Like, I've heard of DJs, guest DJs that I've spoken to, have turned up and the residents literally don't really even speak to them at all. And the moment they've played their last tune, the moment they've played their last tune, ready for the headliner to start, they walk out the DJ box.
Nah, none
they're
of
out.
That, man.
They're gone. And I'm like, nah,
at least welcome the DJ, man. Like, shake his hand. Don't shake his hand now, obviously. Shake man's hand, you know what I mean?
But also,
have a,
like,
little a little conversation, like, set man up. Like, I always try and, if they've got sweat or whatever, I'll offer to, like, plug that in and get that shit ready in it, because you know what it's like moving in some DJ booths. Like, you get used to your own booth.
Yeah,
but
man.
Like, sometimes if you go and do a guest set somewhere and it's a little bit tight or you can't get your stuff in properly, like, just having that little extra helping hand from someone who knows the booth or whatever, I think that makes a massive difference.
Yeah,
but I've made friends with so many headline DJs over the years because of that.
Yeah, same.
Like, coming in the booth and, like, having a bit of a convo and just building a little bit of a relationship with them and then hanging around for the set as well, man.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
I think that makes a massive difference.
One thing sometimes I like, if a guest DJ's on, I don't like to just kind of sit in the booth with them. And a lot of
Don't sit on man's lap.
No, that's the thing. But a lot of it's actually because I don't want them to feel any kind of pressure, like there's someone just stood watching over their shoulder, etc., etc.
Yeah,
do you know what I mean?
I hate that.
But one thing I always make sure I do is I make sure they've at least got their first two tunes on so that I know that both decks are working for them. Do you know what I mean?
And
without fail, always ask them if they're good and if there's anything they need before I'm leaving the booth. Do you know what I mean? So, like,
if that's the case,
cool. You good? Yeah. You need anything? No. Cool. It's all
working. Or if it's Serato and they've got the two tracks, like, and they need to do, and it's deck for deck. If you're using Serato and they are, kind of thing, I'll make sure they get the first one on, and then I'll change over the other deck for them. So as soon as they hit play on the first one, I'll plug mine out and then whack theirs in straight away. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
to make
exactly.
sure And then kind of set it up for them kind of thing and make sure they're good to go. But yeah, 100%. I know what you're saying, man. I've seen some man just bounce out of the booth, leave man that's, sweating.
That's super, like, that's proper bad mind energy, man. Like,
bad, yeah, it's bad mind, isn't it? Some people are a bit shy as well, bro. Though I know someone that might have done it, but not even on a bad mind flex. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know if it's a new resident, some man can be a little bit intimidated by a, not in a bad way, but just, I don't know, kind of puts them into the shell a little bit and don't really know how to chat too tough. I know some quiet DJs, bro. Like, not everyone is as, like, I'm just trying to think of an argument for the other side. Like, not everyone is as
outgoing,
chatty and approachable. Yeah, and outgoing, yeah, do you know what I mean? Like, yeah, it's one of them. But yeah, be nice to the guest DJs, man. Shit.
Another thing, I know this happened to you. You mentioned that this happened to you a little while ago. Is just before they come on, don't go into fucking hyperdrive and start blasting through the tunes.
Bro, I got done over, man. Do you know what? Yeah, it's cool, right? I'm not even too fussed, but I just don't think that's the way, like, build the energy and get it right in it and then just hand it over. And believe me, man, that headline is going to respect you so much more than if you just go, like you say, going to hyperdrive, mate.
When I'm doing
But some man, it. This is the thing, bro. Let me finish. If they don't know.
Yeah.
So they think they're flexing to the headline.
Yeah.
Because, like you say, they might not have come up around a DJ that has helped show them the way. So they think they're doing the right thing.
Yeah.
Like, this kid at the time, I don't think he knew any different, but he was going hammer.
Yeah.
Ham butties, bro.
That's like, the thing. Like we said before, it might have been a case that, oh, DJ Stylus is here. Like, I really need to show him how sick I am. Like, I want to show him how good I am. And that was his way of showing you how good he was on the decks. But if he
was to just do a next thing and build it up right and throw one or two tracks in there that I might have forgotten about or something a little bit different, I would have been even more gassed from that than man just throwing out the top 10 hits of the moment, innit?
100%.
Do not do hyperdrive, guys.
No, don't go into hyperdrive. Because the thing is as well, that on the other side of that, whenever this debate's come up online, I've always seen that people are like, oh yeah, but if you're the headliner, you should be able to get around it. You should be able to do all the other songs. It doesn't matter what they play. Yeah. And that is true. And
I'm
fully confident in my music selection as well, bro. I could hold down a whole guest set just off old school tunes if I wanted to. But it's not the point. There's a lot of big main set songs that I like to play at the moment. Do you know what I mean? All of the Pop Smoke joints, for example. Even from last year, you'll know I've been playing him out in the clubs. And I love playing his music. I like playing a lot of that stuff. But I can do a whole set without playing any Pop Smoke. But that's the songs that 100. I want to be playing at the moment. Do you know what I mean? I'm there for my enjoyment as well. And I want to play the songs that I want to play. So if 5 minutes before I come on, you go through his entire catalogue. And now you've rinsed those tunes out. Wrong. When I come on and I want to play them, I can't because you have, or the energy won't be the same because you've already blasted through them. Do you know what I mean? So it's like, that's another reason why not to. Like, we can get around the whole set and still keep the room lit without playing the big obvious songs. But sometimes we want to. Like, it's nice to actually, do you know what I mean? It's just nice to play those bangers.
Nah, fully.
When I want to play them.
I hear you.
So that's definitely something to take into account. It's like, and again, it goes back to the podcast we did way back when, right at the start, the art of the warm-up, man. Like, doing the warm-up properly before the DJ next to you comes on. Like,
that podcast feels like time ago now.
Bro, it was. I swear we're coming up to our second birthday.
Yeah, do you know what? Yeah, it's nearly 2 years, man.
Why?
It is.
What's the date? When was
it? I think it's like the first week of April, you know? So in the middle of like the corona peak, we're going to be celebrating our 2 year anniversary.
Sick. So if anyone wants to come and join us in the studio.
I know, yeah. If you're all coming and splutter on each other.
Yeah.
Mate, we're lucky we do this over the phone.
Yeah, that's it. That is very true, bro.
We ain't catching nothing, mate. I'm in quarantine inside my bloody crate.
Yeah. In it. Luckily, no one else uses my studio, so I'm just here. But it looks like a bomb site at the moment because I've had to clean it all out anyway.
Go and listen to that. People should go and listen to that Art of Warm-Up. Anyway, it was that long ago. I feel like people might have missed it.
Yeah.
So if you haven't checked it out, it's like episode flipping 5 or something.
Real early one. Real early one. But yeah, for anyone that's picking up on the podcast now, go back to the first few episodes, because even though some of them are a little rough around the edges, the message is still there. So I feel like... Actually, I need to listen back to some of them.
I don't even know.
You know what? I don't even think they were rough around the edges, to be honest. I think we had it good from the jump. But
yeah, some of the energy is different when you sat in the same room as well. Like the way we do it now is dope, but I just feel like when you sat in the same room, like it's don't know. Obviously, it's better doing shit face to face, isn't it? But it's just not possible.
No.
You never know, mate. We could get locked away for a couple of months now. So if that happens, we're in a good position to keep it moving.
7 a week.
Get me. We're gonna have daily pod clarts, mate.
7 pod clarts a week.
Day three in quarantine.
Yeah. So another thing I'd say, this is something that happened to me. I don't want to actually name the DJ that did this, but I've had conversations with other DJs, and this DJ has done this to other people. So this is a repeat offender, but I'm not going to say his name because I don't want to give him the clout or the airtime. But the certain DJ came to a club that I was playing at, and he did a set in the other room, and he was booked as a headliner. He did a set in the other room, and then basically, long story short, my room was the most sickest room of the whole club that night. Yeah, I had the place on lock that night, and so I heard that his room was a little bit dusty. And when he finished his set, when he finished his set, he came into the room that I was playing in. And this, bear in mind, yeah, this is a DJ that I've crossed paths with on several occasions, more than several occasions throughout my career.
Okay.
So we're
okay,
and we know each other, like. Do you know what I mean? So it's always been, how are you, catching up and chatting and this and that and da-da-da-da-da. This, on this occasion, bruv, absolute...
I wasn't feeling you, fam.
Air pie, my friend. He came into the room that I was playing in, and he must have asked the manager if he could have had a table or something, because then him and his him and his mates sat down at the table with a couple girls and that. And I get it, bruv. I don't want you to come over and start fucking hugging me and telling me how sick I am, but... when you come in the room and there's another DJ, especially if it's a DJ you know, say hello, innit? Like, just go up.
Yeah,
just
get me.
Make sure that they know you're in the room. Just
you, my guy just, was secretly like, hurt, fam, because he had a dusty room.
Yeah.
Sometimes you got to take a L on that, bro. Like, I remember playing some side rooms and that before. Like, it happens, innit?
Yeah.
Like,
100%.
Don't take it personal, though. It's not personal.
But, bro, I think it wounded him, man, because my room was... jumping. Bear in mind, I was the resident of this place. Do you know what I mean? So, like, I knew the crowd. I knew what to do every week, and I knew how to get it that way. He was just a guest in a different part of the room, in a different part of the club.
So he's obviously got it wrong.
Didn't know the area, which
is easily done, like you say, when you've not been to the venue or you don't know the landscape and that.
No,
it's easily done.
Way really easily done, but he obviously didn't do the job that he wanted to do. He didn't get the reception he wanted to get. Felt salty about it, but bruv,
mad.
So I've seen him. Yeah, he's come in, blanked me, gone over to his table, sat down with his boys and some girls drinking. Whatever, cool. All right, cool. You know what? He might not have seen me. He might not have realized it's me. He's just on a wave. He's just doing his thing. Cool, whatever. He's partying. That's all.
Defo knew you was there, bro. Defo.
Yeah, I know. But I'm just saying, at this point in time, in my head, I'm thinking, all right, cool. Because we knew each other. So I knew him. I wouldn't say he was my friend, but in terms of DJing, he was a DJ pal. Do you know what I mean? So anyway, so he's in the room. Cool, I've seen him. He's partying. Right, I'm on the mic, obviously. I'm hosting. So I big him up on the mic. I just mentioned the fact that he's in the building. Big him up, da-da-da-da-da, all of this stuff. Air pie. Anyway... The night goes on. The night finishes. The club closes. All the lights come on and that. People are walking out. Now, him and his crew stand up and leave their table. Now, to get out of the room, they have to walk past the DJ booth. They have to walk past the DJ booth, right? You can't not see the DJ booth. And I promise you this, right? He got up, started walking. I said his name... and he turned his back to me as he walked past the DJ booth and kept his back to me as he went around it. So, like...
oh, God.
And I said his name.
Some tactical maneuvers, them tactical ones to ignore you without looking like he's actually ignoring you.
Bro, I said his name again, loud, absolutely no
double,
way.
Doubles just shouted his name out there.
No, I said, I just called his name, innit? Because he was, bro, he's within about 3 meters of me. So there's no way he didn't hear me. And then, like, it was the second time that I said it that he didn't do anything. I thought, nah, this guy's really on some hating. Because the other thing is, while he was in the room, I absolutely shelled the club, bruv. Like, it was a really sick night for me that night. So,
dope.
Even if, as a DJ, even if it's a DJ you don't know, if they proper slap the night like that, at the end, you're going to go up to them, aren't you? You're going to say to them, like, that was sick. Like, you're hard. Do you know what I mean? So,
yeah, that might...
He would... technically should have come up to be like, yeah, that was cool. And it's not the fact that he didn't congratulate me on a good set that I was pissed off about. It was the absolute bad manners and the airing, the fact that, bruv, you're in my house and you haven't even come to hail me yet. Do you know what I mean? Like, you haven't come to check me in the DJ booth, but you're stood in my house. Do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, I hear that. I hear that.
That's to me.
I feel like that happens all the time now, bro.
Yeah,
that
but that's what I'm saying. Lot. That's why I wanted to do, not that situation specifically, but that's why I wanted this topic, because there's a lot of etiquette and a lot of things that are being lost along the way that we really need to bring back. And we need people to realize, like, small details like that go a long way. Do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
very small
man.
Details like that. Just, and anyway, so I spoke to a couple of people. I've obviously spoken to you off air about this situation, so you know who it was. And I've spoken to a couple other DJ friends about it, because I just wondered if anyone else had dealings with him like this or if it was just me. And actually, funnily enough, a couple of weeks ago, another DJ friend of ours, mine and yours.
For real?
Yeah, he called me and he was like, yo, you remember that problem you had?
I can't remember who it was now. You're going to have to remind me again when this is done, because I can't remember.
I'll tell you after. But yeah, so another DJ friend of ours, a guy that me and you both know very well, actually called me and was like, yo, you had problems with such and such, didn't you? Like, and then explained that he did exactly the same to him. So I'm just like, bruv,
oh,
you're getting salty, man. Like, stop. Like, now you, yeah, just stop it. Stop. Stop with the suit.
So, you can't give too much away.
Yeah, I can't. I don't want to get too into it because I end up saying it. And then, but and
no, I hear you, man. If you step into someone's house, bro, like, I hear you, man. It's just common manners, really, especially in the DJ game.
Yeah.
Like, if I go to a club, if I go out of town to another city, and, like, even if I've just, like, I don't know, if I've crossed paths with them on socials or whatever, or even if I don't fully know them too tough, but I know of them, like, I will always try and go over and say, like, wagwan, or just bump fists, or just say hello and get familiar in it. Like, no
literally,
matter where we go in the UK, I try to do that.
That's all it is. Just go up and bump fists. Just the acknowledgement. I'm not trying to... I don't want to have a catch-up, bruv. Like, I don't want to swap and have life stories. Like,
yeah,
it's
literally... I hear you.
If I'm coming into your place, like, I'm just... Especially, like I say, this is the main thing. Especially if I know you, or if we've communicated in the past, I'm coming up just to say what's up. Hello, how are you?
Yeah,
boom.
Yeah,
do you need anything? Do you want a drink? Do you know what I mean? If I'm out for the night or whatever, do you want a drink? That's it. That's all it takes.
It helps to keep the community building, man. Instead of, like you say, a lot of DJs just started doing it themselves. Like,
yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Keep moving in the right way, man, and chat to the other man. Like, even if it is just bumping fists, bro, it's helping contribute to the overall well-being of the DJ industry.
You get me? Yeah.
Bloody hell. Jesus Christ.
Oh, I've got another one.
Doubles got dramas.
No, you know what? It's not even dramas, bro. It's just, it is what it is. Situations. Leave the DJ booth clean, you bastards. There you go.
Oh, my days. Is that what you wrote down in your notes? Yeah.
Yeah. I think I must have.
Yo, been... bro, listen, yeah. I'm known for it, right? Check this, right?
What, for being a dirty
bastard? Even in ink. No, I'm known for having a clean booth, bro.
Good man.
Yeah, because I don't drink on set anymore. Yeah.
You've changed.
In fact, I got told off once because, wait for it, man left a banana peel in the booth, Dredd.
What, you did?
Yeah. By accident. But other than that, the cleaners will come up at the end of the night and, like, we love you, Sty. And I'm, like, thinking they're going to big up my set on or something like that. And then it's like, the booth is always clean.
Yeah, that's what's up, man.
But yeah, my booths are always clean, bro. But I hear you, no mess, man. Some dudes, I'll come in, yeah, on a Friday, and maybe the booth hasn't been cleaned from the Saturday before. I don't know why this is. I won't say where it is. But yeah, and the place will be a mess, bro. Bottles of beer all over the place. Half drunk drinks, like,
yeah,
just mythical, bruv. Like, yeah, bits of food and that. Not the one. No, respect the booth, mate. Respect the booth like it's your yard, innit? Like, it's essentially where we live, innit? Like, outside of the gaff, we live in the booth.
I think it's just
keep your house tidy.
Yeah, and it's, do you know what it is? Like, this actually, this was, I don't know if anyone saw it, but I think I tweeted from the talk over Twitter the other day, because I got into the DJ booth. I started DJing, and like one of the CDJs and one of the mixers was sticky, and one of the mixer faders was sticky, and it's so obviously like a sticky drink had been spilt and then not wiped up. And I was like, that was the final straw, bruv. So I just got straight on Twitter and I just cussed whoever. I don't know who it was. But yeah, it's just like, just stuff like your empty drinks, any food wrappings and stuff you got, just tidy up, innit? Just tidy up, because other people have to work there. Like, it's cool getting turned up, but just leave it clean, bruv. Because other people have to operate in there. Like, what's wrong with you?
Bro, even when I used to turn up back in the day, like, I wouldn't fuck up the decks and I'd be licked and I still wouldn't mess up the decks. I'm DJing on Wednesday and then the song's playing. Next thing, the song just stopped. It's the fucking sticky-ass cue button. Yeah. And then I turn around to the engineer light tech guy and I'm like, yo, like, they're looking at me like I just fucked up. And I'm like, bro, that shit, do you see that? That shit just stopped by itself. And he's like, yeah, the other DJ, he gets drunk and he just starts flinging his drink around and all. I'm like, bro, have a word with this guy then.
Yeah.
He's licking his drinks all over the decks and that man's DJing, the music just stops. Manager's looking at me like I'm a proper shit DJ and that. like I'm just stopping the music. But yeah, even when I used to drink, bro, I never used to mash up. These guys just like respect the gear, innit? I think they move so reckless.
Bro, I've got no problem with people drinking and DJing. Like, when I'm doing guest sets...
Same. I've got no problem at all.
That's the formula for me now when I'm doing guest sets. I will get drunk to do the set. Do you know what I mean?
Exactly. But I hear that.
I don't spill my drink everywhere. I stay in control of myself. But if I have drinks, if I have food, whatever, I always clean up the mess. The only one time, just in case someone actually does put me on blast for this, I think I once accidentally... because...
Get it out there.
I chew chewing gum a lot, innit? When I gave up smoking like a decade ago, I've always chewed chewing gum as a replacement. And I chew chewing gum through my whole entire DJ set. I'll always have chewing gum on me. And I take the gum out when it loses flavour, wrap it in a wrapper and put it on the side because there's never a bin in the DJ.
Yeah, you used to get under the table. You used to get under the table.
No, not under the table. Why is there no bins in the DJ box? Anyway,
That's true.
There's an occasion I can sort of remember that I might have forgotten to take the chewing gum. It was wrapped in the wrapper, by the way, but I forgot to take the wrapper out the DJ box and I might have left it there one time. So that's just in case
Sweaty guy.
What I don't want to do is do this podcast.
Guy's got to get out in case he gets baited up.
Yeah, because I didn't want to do the podcast and then someone send a picture of my chewing gum in a wrapper and be like, look, double, you fucking hypocrite. But yeah.
So yours is chewing gum and mine's banana peels.
That's, I did it once.
That's a crossover, that still.
Yeah, but now, obviously, nowadays, I'm definitely, with the current climate, I'm definitely not leaving chewing gum on the side. It's going straight in the bin. Straight in the bin.
But, bro, do you reckon when all this stuff blows over, man, are going to be a lot cleaner in the booth? I know I've been hella hand sanitizing while I've been DJing. I use it anyway, but I know I use it 10 times more now. Because the decks and the mixer, they're like germ heaven, G.
Oh, mate, I know.
The amount of dead skin and shit on him, like...
Yeah.
The clubs, if you're listening, clean your shit a little bit more, innit? Like, especially now.
Yeah, man, like, it's definitely... Like, the mixers, you got to think how many people have used the mixer, how many DJs used the mixer, how many people that DJ might have shaken hands with.
Ugh.
And how many times has the mixer actually been disinfected? I can almost guarantee you not a single mixer in any nightclub, in any club in the country, has ever been disinfected. Ever. Not the jog wheels on the CDJs, nothing. Nothing in that DJ box.
Yeah, it's like when the lights come on at the end of the night and you can see all the fingerprints and all the nasty shit that's actually on there.
Yeah.
Oh my God. I'm taking wipes to the club now. I'm going to start wiping my shit down.
Yeah, Yeah. The other thing
keep
is as well.
Keep your booth clean, man. Keep it clean. Keep it clean, guys.
And put the wires back where you found them when you're finished.
Well, I thought I was the only person that done that.
What? Put the wires or don't put the wires back?
No, I put them back in. I put them back in, man.
I do a lot of the time. Again, not every time. I'm a little bit of a hypocrite for this, but I'm going to make a more of an effort.
Guy's going to bring up a point that he doesn't even do himself, the dick.
It's only in one place.
I don't do it, but let's all do it together.
You know what? It's only in one place that I don't do it, and that's because when I finish my set, I'm literally at the end of a 22-hour day, and I always, in my head, I'm like, right, I'll put the wires back tonight. By the time I finish the set, because I do from 12:30 till 3 at this place, and the place shuts at 3.
Okay.
By the time I finish my set, brother, I'm so tired, I'm just like, unplug my shit and I just want to get in the car and go.
I feel like when you use the Serato box and I take the outputs from the decks and put them into the inputs on my box, innit, and then use two wires of my own. So I feel like when I unplug them out of the box, it just doesn't feel right to just leave them there.
Yeah.
So it's just like an automatic thing that I started doing where I just plug them back in, innit.
Yeah, that's true.
But, yeah. But this is at my residency, so like, it's my house, so it's like I've got to look after my own shit, you know what I mean? I'm going to be back here every week, so.
But when there's DJs, bruv, when there's other DJs in the week, like there's a couple places where I know there's like a DJ on a Wednesday, then there's a DJ on a Thursday and Friday, and then if I'm in there on a Saturday or whatever, like, bruv, the wires are always displaced or fucking hidden. There's one place where the guy who plays the night before me is known for just taking the phono leads. And it became a bit of a running joke. We had a WhatsApp group. I had a WhatsApp group.
You beat me to it.
All the residents from the same club, yeah, we had a WhatsApp group together. And every week I would turn up and take a photo of the back of the mixer with no leads. Every week without fail. Like, because the dude just...
This guy's defo got a mountain of phono leads at his crib from all over the country.
Fucking.
I was about to say, when it's a club that I don't play at regular, man, I'll just take the phonos.
It's you bastard. Nah, people like you, you're part of the problem. You're part of
the
problem.
To be fair, when I've got drunk on guest sets, I've took them by accident. I'll just unplug it all and throw it in my bag. Like, and then wake up the next day with everybody's shit in my bag.
Yeah, I think. So, yeah, no, I don't think I've ever
my
done
bad,
that.
Guys.
Stealer.
My bad.
Have you got any points of etiquette?
I'm trying to think.
It's all right
there's definitely some more. So we've got the DJ booth. We've got the showing love to the DJs. What else did we get in there? The keeping shit clean.
Yeah. Sticking about so that the next DJ's got comfortable before you just disappear.
To be fair, I don't know whether this is more for... I think we went over this, but chatting to like the people that work within the club as well, I think helps. But I guess that's not even for guest DJs. That's more for like your residences. Like I'll always like when before my set, I'll go and bump fists with the staff or like the promoters or the club managers. And then afterwards, I always tend to hang around for 5-10 minutes as well. Instead of just like supping in and out of the club, do you know what I mean? And just like doing the set, keep my head down, bouncing with my cash kind of thing.
I'll always try
and keep a relationship with the venues that I work at.
100%.
I feel like that's an important one. Like it's sitting down and having a drink with them or just even a quick catch up, man. How'd the night go? Like whatever else. Like just general keeping a friendship, innit? I feel like that's good DJ etiquette. I feel like that's really important, man. Like all my residencies, I do it. All of them, whether it's chatting to them beforehand, maybe not every week afterwards, depending on how the night's gone, but whether it's before or after, I'll always make sure like that kind of happens, to be fair.
Man, that's super important. I agree with that. It's super important because it's to do with relationships and like keeping the work.
I know you do it because like I've spoken to you before when you're like, oh, I'm just gonna go and chat to the manager or whatever, like same way.
I don't do it every time because obviously I know you've got quite a lot of your works local, innit? So like the problem for me is the closest one to me is an hour drive. So okay. When I'm finishing late, I very, very rarely stick around for a drink with the staff if they're having one. Unless I'm asked. If it's not a drink, bro,
like just a quick thing, innit? Like the thing instead of just yeah, back the thing out I the back door like you're a punter.
No, but the thing I find is by the time I'm finished and everything's packed up, the bar staff are cleaning the place. Do you know what I mean? So they're actually still working for the next half hour, 45 minutes. And so I'm not going to, I don't want to sit down and wait for them to finish. Do you know what I mean?
Well, maybe but at it's the same just time, at my spots where they just stop and chat to you anyway while they're cleaning.
Oh yeah, sometimes I'll sit and like no, not even sit. Sometimes I'll stop and have conversations with them. I don't literally just go straight out the venue, but I don't really sit and
blood clot
have like proper drinks.
Well, go on. Yo, sorry fam, someone's just come in the studio.
Yeah, I wonder why the fuck she's, you just
she's early.
I wonder why you just shouted well, out on. Blood clot.
I'm in the middle of a podcast, but it's cool. Oh, shit, it's all good, mate. Dubs. I was going to say, we've got 10 minutes left as well. My bad. It's all good. Carry on, bro. Carry on. We can finish it. I'm still here.
But yeah, I do make a point of sitting and chopping up with the managers and stuff. Yeah. So I do think that, yeah, that's an important thing. Do you know what? Actually, another point to raise on DJ etiquette. Poaching other people's work. This is something that's happened to me twice in the last year now.
Yeah, that still happens. That still happens all the time, bro. Oh,
the managers come up to me and said, "Oh, guess what? Such and such is after your job." I'm like, "Bruv,
what?
I'm gonna put the boxing gloves on in a minute." And actually, you know what?
Yeah.
So there's another DJ. Why are they all coming for me, bruv? There's another DJ who poached my
come
work.
On, guys. You get serious drama, you know, this guy.
Karma? Oh, come on, bruv.
No, serious drama, not karma.
Oh, I thought you said karma. I was going to be like, I didn't do anything to deserve this.
No. You're a good guy, bro.
But yeah, so anyway, the manager tells me, right, such and such has been asking if he can take your job, if he can have your job, basically. And
what?
This is another DJ that I actually know personally. So, bruv, the next day I got straight on the phone. And I'm like, what the fuck?
What, and Bell the DJ?
Yeah, I called him. I called him straight up, bro. Well,
someone's got to tell him, innit?
I was like, what are you playing at, man? Like, and then he got on the defensive and then he started throwing his toys out the pram. And then the funny thing was the conversation ended. The conversation ended with him telling me that I was getting too big for my boots. I need to humble myself because he used to look up to me and respect me, but because of how I've just conducted myself, I need to get a bit humble and stop. I don't know. I was just like, bruv, I tell you what you need to do. You need to stop poaching work. That's what you need to stop doing. Like,
I've not had this situation for a minute still. I'm quite lucky, I think.
I am. No one's been
poaching me anyway.
It happened recently as well. The same place, a different guy. The boss messaged me. We just had a message from such and such, different DJ. He's after your job. Says, do we want to hire him? And basically, I think the general aim to them doing this is they're putting it out. They're like, oh, look, I can work for cheaper. Like, do you want to put me in? Or is there any opportunities for me to do this spot instead or whatnot? But it's like...
Yeah, I feel like there's a way to behave in it. And like you say, going in and undercutting is probably the worst possible thing you could 100%. Do in the DJ game, bro. Like that's gonna get you blacklisted real quick, man.
Not only that, right? So this is something else that's happened to me, right? I was in the runnings for a job, a new residency. This is about 2 or 3 years ago now. And then the reason I didn't get the residency was because another DJ stepped in. And whether
I got
or not,
undercut by a £100 DJ.
Whether or not they knew what I'd put in. So the club basically asked me how much I charge for it. I told them. The other DJ, he might not have actually done this on purpose because I kind of keep my cards quite close to my chest. But he's gone in at a really low rate, and the club have chosen him because they wanted to just keep the costs low. Now the problem was. He went in at such sweaty. A low rate that he couldn't sustain a business. So he actually ended up stopping DJing. But the club will not pay more than that low rate for that club, for that night.
See, because, this is the thing, yeah. Once one person lowers it, like it puts the bar down there and it can become a struggle for the people like us that try and keep a high quality. And maybe we charge a little bit more, but we know what we bring to the table in regards to a professional level and a good set, you get me?
Yeah.
Once one dude comes in and with the £100 stuff. But then, is the club partly to blame, though?
Well, the club's running a business, bruv. The club is running a business.
Yeah, I get that, but still, man, respect, like, you're going to do a better set than this £100 DJ's set.
Yeah, so, like, at the moment, the clubs don't really care about that. Like, there's
about to get worse as well, bro. My God, £100 DJ's is going to be... When all these clubs start struggling, £100 DJ going to come regular.
No, but it can't. That's why, obviously, we're going to do the pod clart about that very soon. But in terms of poaching the work, like, yeah, don't do it, man. It's not good. But one thing I would say, there's nothing wrong with approaching a club and asking if there's any opportunities. Do you know what I mean? 100. Like, just saying, getting yourself on their radar and just being like, look, if there's anything available, I'm here. Or do you know what I mean? Like, if you want...
Just put yourself in the shop window, innit?
Yeah, exactly.
Like,
but
don't poach it. And then if the opportunity arises, like, you might be the first person to call, innit?
To specifically say, oh, look, I could do double set and I could do it cheaper. Like, that's poaching. But to say to a club owner, I'm available on these nights of the week, da-da-da-da-da, if any opportunities come up, can you give me a shout? Do you know what I mean? That's not poaching in my eyes. That's just letting them know that you're available, which is cool. That's
I still send out messages now like that, bro. Like, even the amount of time that we've been doing it, not even on a poaching vibe, but just putting yourself in the mixer, innit? Like, letting them know that if something does pop up, like, you're there and you're available.
Yeah, man.
And you will provide shellings.
Plentiful shellings on a weekly basis. Big shelly pie. Exactly.
Shellington Wellington.
Yeah.
Flipping heck. Have you got any more?
No, that's all of my list.
I think we've covered the base of it.
I think so.
Double with the notes. Double came through with the notes today. He was like, Stye, have you got any notes? I was like, hell no.
No, tell the story properly.
I'm so bad.
Tell the story properly. About a month ago, I said, right, let's do this one and let's write some notes down. And you were like, yeah, okay, cool. And then 3 weeks ago, no, 2 weeks ago, I said, right, you've got a week.
Bro,
No, you can't interrupt. I said 2 weeks ago, you've got a week to get your notes in, get your notes ready for this one. And then last week, obviously, the corona clart hit. So we did about that. And then,
listen, do you know how much work I've lost in the last 48 hours, mate? Last thing I could be... I wasn't even going to record this morning, bruv. Wifey woke up coughing her guts up and that. I was like, Corona.
Yeah.
I shouldn't even laugh, bro, but yeah, I woke up. I was under pressure this morning. Man's lost 3 gigs already this week.
Yeah, that's pain.
Shit's about to get real peak, but... It's all good. I'm good at winging stuff, mate. I've winged my whole career.
Yeah. That's basically what we do, isn't it?
Yeah, man. Best way. Keep it natural.
That's it.
Anyway, there's going to be plenty more podcasts. I'm taking my mic home today because if I have to go into quarantine, I can just record from my living room every day, innit?
Well, that's the thing, man. Definitely. So for all the listeners as well, if we do get put into a lockdown, we're going to be doing... Yeah. We're definitely going to step up the output of the clart. So one thing actually would be good.
The clart.
Yeah, the clart.
Well, you know.
The clart output will be raised. And yeah, we can obviously bring on way more guests and stuff. If you can do it remotely, then you can come on the pod clart with us and chop it up.
Sick. So. Yeah, in fact, I've actually got a couple of guests that I'm going to get on locally anyway, because like me and Double have decided we're going to do some individual clarts away from like what we're doing together, innit, just to keep the content up and give more variation. So
we're not getting a divorce. We're just spending time apart.
No,
we still
love
each other. we're just spending some time apart. we're just gonna see other people for a little while and see how it goes.
Oh my fucking days.
But no, there are gonna be guests coming onto the pod clart, and obviously Stylus being in Manchester, he can bring Manchester people on. Me being down here, as soon as everyone climbs out their quarantine boxes, I can bring people on from down here. So
when everything settles down as well, we've actually got a sick concept. I can't wait to get this shit out there. We won't give it away
yet. Don't say it.
We're working on... I won't say nothing, man, but we're working on something sick.
You get me?
Super sick. Yeah. Right, that's all we can say. That's all we can say for now.
Exactly. So don't forget, follow us. Oh, yeah, we've got an Instagram as well. What's the Instagram? TalkOverPod.
The Instagram is at TalkOverPod, same as the Twitter. I'm going to start posting bits and bobs on there. I'm just getting a batch of content ready to go out for my older episodes.
There you go.
And then, but follow us on Insta. I think that's where... I'm going to leave Double to Chat Shit on Twitter, and then I'm going to take over the Instagram.
There you go, basically. At TalkOverPod on Twitter and Instagram. Hashtag TalkOverPodClart. Let's get the conversation out there, man. Don't forget, tell a friend to tell a friend about the greatest podclart that ever lived.
To tell the mum. Yeah, man. Get your mum to listen, innit? I think your mum will like it.
Your mum will like it.
Until next time.
Peace.
Peace out, you clarts.